Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
The Bears are now 4-2 and have won four straight games.
Okay, Andy.
Here we go.
Let's just get right to it, okay? First, congratulations to the Bears on the victory. That's about as far as I'm going to go with it, okay? We played a 1-5 team today. And by the way, we're playing Baltimore come up this next week. They're a 1-5 team. They had a pass this week. But jumping back quickly to this game, folks, we've had a schedule so far that is unbelievable. The teams that we're playing and how pathetic they are, how pathetic their records are, it is unbelievable. And Dan, I got one question for you. Our all-world quarterback, give me a rating on what you think, or what grade would you give him quarterbacking the Bears today?
Today.
At home against this pathetic football team.
Well, and it has to be bad. And I know that Moose said at the end of the game, don't ever apologize for a win. I think the Bears need to. This was bad. And, yeah, I understand, you know, it still counts in a week or 3 weeks from now. We'll look back. It's just a win. But what we saw today was bad. And why? Because we're struggling at the most important position in all of sports. Caleb Williams was god-awful today. I'd give him a D-. And the only reason, you know, it's not an F is because they won the game.
I'll give him an F-.
Okay.
He was pathetic. And we won a football game.
Yep. And I'll tell you this, Andy. The thing about it is his stats are abysmal.
Yep.
But think about this, folks. We've got the most, you know, intelligent, smartest, most highly paid coach on the planet Earth coaching him. He's a first overall pick. DeAndre Swift is a first-round draft pick in his backfield. His two wide receivers are first-round draft picks. Colston Loveland is a first-round draft pick. He has got no place to hide. It was awful. He threw the ball horribly, and I got to tell you, that interception, he was staring down Adunze like Andy used to stare at Farrah Fawcett's picture on his wall when he was in high school.
How'd you know about that?
But I'm just telling you, folks, if you think we're going to go to Baltimore and come away anywhere close to a victory, and I got it. Yeah, Baltimore's 1-5. They got a whole bunch of issues. Trust me, they will find their way out of that trick bag. And I don't want it to happen against us. But for us to play like we did today, boy, and win a game, you know, four in a row, Andy. When was the last time the Bears won four in a row?
2018.
That's it. 7 years.
Yep.
And guys, okay, and yeah, we're screaming about, you know, a victory, but at the end of the day, it ain't about beating the New Orleans Saints, the miserable, you know, Spencer Rattler-led New Orleans Saints. It's about being viable to be, you know, looked at as a potential playoff team. At 4-2, your record says, hey, you got some juice. I didn't see no juice today, Andy.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Running game was juice.
Awesome. Yep.
But a lot of that was how bad the Saints are.
I'll tell you what. They just keep rolling, and we keep playing these pathetic teams. And I don't know who makes the schedule or how this happens, but it falls out as of the last four games or so. It's one pathetic team after another. Here's another bothering figure, folks. We had 10 penalties today. 10. I believe we're averaging, Andy, is it
nine penalties
a game?
Yeah.
Yep.
Folks, you have 10 penalties, you lose a football game. You have 9 penalties, you lose a football. You have 8 penalties, you lose. 7 penalties, you lose. We're winning. 10 penalties for almost 100 yards. And we won against this pathetic team at home, but it was a nice victory for the fans. You know, they come there, they don't want to walk home. Hey, we came and spent all this money and did all this, and we got our backside handed to us. So congratulations on the win. But I'll tell you what, folks, we're going to start meeting some pretty good teams, and we're going to find out exactly who the hell we are, because I'll tell you what, his rating of 61.7 today, and we won a football game.
That's very generous.
It was. He was pathetic. And Danny, you know, I don't know where to go with this quarterback situation, but I'm going to tell you what, we're going to start playing some tough teams, and we're not going to get the luck, the drop of the flag, and the luck of the of calls. It's not going to happen every time. And I'll tell you what, Bajent, get ready, get ready.
Hey, listen, all you callers, call in and tell us if you think we have lost our mind. But I'm telling you, that amazing, you know, decision by Ben Johnson, I'm sure it was Declan Doyle, told him to challenge that call. That was the play of the game. We'll find out what you think about it. We're not in last place in the division for the first time in God knows
forever, yeah. I mean, it has to be at least 2021.
Hey, 4-2. I don't care. I got it. Don't apologize for the win, all that. But there is so much that has to be addressed. You know, and we were just watching Jackson Dart scramble around, throw a touchdown pass against Denver on the road. And I'm just saying, you know.
Jackson Dart is the quarterback for the New York Giants.
Right, right. And I'm just saying, you know, here's a rookie in his third or fourth game, and it's like, you know, what is going on with Caleb Williams? What is in his head that creates this confusion that not only leads him into situations where he refuses to make decisions now, but he throws it so erratically, OB. He's throwing the ball horribly.
Danny.
He is.
There's no question about it. And if you look at that whole team, for you people that were out there, I mean – we won. Okay, great. That's wonderful. But I'll tell you what, that team we played today and the team we played the week before and the team we played, this team was so pathetic on offense and defense. They have a quarterback. I don't know where in God's name this guy came from or whatever, but how awful could he be? How awful could their defensive line be? How awful could their linebackers be? And their defensive backs were nowhere to be found. That's why we ran the ball. Every time Swift got it, he was gone for 16 yards, 20 yards, whatever it might be. But I'm going to tell you, just what I said to several minutes ago, we're going to start playing some real teams pretty soon here. Okay? And I'm going to tell you, we keep up with getting 8 penalties, 9 penalties, 8 penalties, 10 penalties, 9 penalties from game to game against some pretty good teams, that's going to kill us, folks. You can't go 9 penalties last week, 8 penalties the week before, and 10 today for almost 100 yards, the length of the field, and we won a football game with a quarterback rating of 61.7 against a 1-5 team, and I'm going to be happy? I don't think so.
All right, let's get to the calls, Andy.
All right, real quick, though, just shout out to our friends Jake Melnick's, downtown Chicago sports bar destination located at 41 East Superior. Melnick's.
Well,
is your game
the
day
wings
experience.
Were great, yeah. But the barbecue, the pulled pork sandwiches, I didn't know they had those. They
how about the mac? How about the mac and cheese today?
Oh,
that's
the
right.
Mac and
that
cheese.
Was delicious.
Fries, everything was
fantastic.
So thank you for Jake Melnick's again. JakeMelnick's.com, and it's your Bears game day destination. 26-14, Bears get the win here today. We'll go out and see what the folks are saying here, and we'll go out to Chicago and say hi to Bill. Bill, you're up with Hamp and OB. Go ahead.
Yeah, Dan and OB. The quarterback for the NFL for the Saints is not an NFL quarterback, number one.
I agree.
And number two, we're winning in spite of the guy we have playing, not because of him. That is not, correct me if I'm wrong, that is not the number one pick in the NFL draft that I'm looking at.
Can't argue with you. Big man, what do you say?
Well, here's the thing, and you're exactly right. And you, there's so many ways, you know, to peel the onion and say, well, he has this and, you know, the upside and getting, you know, he had two little Houdini scrambles in the first half, almost like he was trying to impress with his scrambling ability. But when he did clear and he got out on the flank and he had some opportunities, he threw the ball so erratically it had no chance of being caught. But all that being said, you know, it goes back to what I was talking about. Terry Bradshaw said when he heard that Ben Johnson showed up in town back in January saying, my goal for him is to be a 70% completion ratio quarterback. And you know what? Some guys can do it. Some guys can't. I don't think Caleb can. But more importantly, it has basically neutered him to where now it's almost like he is he goes into a panic mode. And there were points last year when we would see him get to the, in his progression to number two or even number three. Now it's one and then dance and scramble and then try to find somebody fighting to get open. It's not a good look.
Dan, as pathetic as that team we play today, and folks, you know it. You watch the games, you see it, you go out to the stadium, you sit there in your seats and you watch it. You know, it's not something that you don't see. We have a quarterback. We won a game with a quarterback rating of 61.7. 61.7 against a 1-5 team that can't get out of its own way. They're horrible. In the offensive line, defensive line, horrible in the running backs, horrible in linebackers, and their defensive backs don't exist. And this kid comes up with a vomit rating. Are you kidding me?
Obi, let me tell you how that quarterback rating system is skewed. So if you got a quarterback that just keeps breathing throughout the 60-minute contest, he should be around 80 or 90. But listen. The opposing quarterback threw three interceptions and fumbled and lost it, and they lose, and yet he has a higher quarterback rating.
66.3 he had, Dan.
That tells you how liberal that whole skewed rating system is, but more importantly, how bad Caleb played. And it's not, hey, look, I may be the only one in this booth right here that, you know, has said, I believe in him and I want this to happen. And I think
it will.
You got
that one correct for the first time.
I know.
You are the only one.
You know what, folks? I'm not kidding you. If Tyson Bagent had started and completed this game, I'm just telling you, he probably would have thrown for 380 yards and had a quarterback rating of 142 or something. I mean, it wasn't that big a deal to make things happen against that compost-laden defense of the Saints. But guess what? Caleb, I don't know. Was he trying to backdoor gift Spencer Rattler for beating him out 4 years ago at Oklahoma?
Well, Dan,
he was playing as bad as he could.
You know what? Like, he played great last week. He played great the week before, the week before, the week before. No, he hasn't. No, he has not. You know, sometimes things are what they are. And I'm going to tell you what, sooner or later, we're going to run up against a pretty good team. Now, next week, we're going to Baltimore. You know what Baltimore's – they got a bye this week. You know what their record is? 1-5. We played a 1-5 team today. And you go back the week before. My God, you talk about the luck of the draw as a schedule. It's unbelievable.
And here's the thing about it, folks. Baltimore is still in the top five teams that on the odds of going to a Super Bowl, okay? They're
1-5, Danny. How the hell is that possible?
Because they're a very good team that's been crippled by injuries. But those injuries
to the quarterback.
Well, he missed 2 weeks and now the bye week. He will be back at full strength, and a bunch of the players, they lost seven players against the Chiefs in that contest. Now, at the end of the day, think about this. Baltimore knows if they go 1-6, it is over. So we're going to get the A game, rest assured about that. And is this any way to get your game together after what we watched today. And our hey, it ain't just Caleb. The defensive line was horse blank too. I mean, it is unbelievable how bad our front seven is. And they were told, oh, Edmonds this. Tremaine Edmonds is not making the plays.
Dan, and what doubles down on what you just said about our defensive line, their offensive line, the opponents we play today, are god-awful.
There was a huge, huge, huge play in this game that really wasn't decided on the field. It was decided in the replay booth. This was as the Saints were driving, and a little lateral pass to Taysom Hill, who then turned around and lateraled the ball to Alvin Kamara, who actually got down inside the Bears' 20. It looked a little strange, and the Bears actually challenged, and it was a legal forward pass, and it forced the Saints into punting.
But the whole thing was, here's the deal, folks. We had a 20-0 lead at halftime, correct?
Correct.
And then we come out and flop around, don't do anything. And then they, you know, they, it wasn't 20-0. It was 20-7. They scored at the end of the first half.
Yeah.
Then it came back and scored again. Now it's 20-14. And now we don't do anything with it. And then they get the ball, make two big passes. And then on a third down play, they throw it to Taysom Hill, who it's almost the end of game lateral.
Hook and lateral, yeah.
Hook and lateral.
Yep.
And anyway, he throws a side pass to Alvin Kamara, who runs it to the 18. Now, here's the deal. There was no penalty called. And at that moment, they've got the ball, they got the momentum, and here they come. And if we don't stop them, they take the lead. And, I mean, it happened just that fast. And I got to tell you, and I'm not going to give it all to Ben Johnson, but Ben Johnson threw the challenge flag. And I'm sure, OB, what he had heard from the box was Taysom Hill had thrown a forward pass. After you throw a forward pass in the NFL, you can lateral all you want 100 times, but you can't throw it forward again. And they went and looked at it and determined that it went forward maybe a
less
foot.
Than a yard, yep.
Yeah, less than a yard. And that was, and I hate to let the cat out of the bag, that was the game-changing moment. Because they lose the down, all that yardage, and put them back into fourth down, and they had to punt. So, talk about skinning your teeth, OB.
Well, how about what happened when, what was it, fourth? Fourth down and, third down and about a yard to go or a yard and a half to go. And they jump off sides or do whatever it was they were called.
The Bears.
Okay,
the Bears,
yes.
The center double clutched it.
Let me tell you something.
Dolman.
I think that's a rule that's going to be tossed out during the offseason. Let me tell you something. That gave the Bears a second chance to score. And they committed the penalty. You should never be rewarded. You get penalty for a play of whatever the hell it is. That's null and voids everything. Okay? You don't get a second chance after you committed the penalty. And that gave the Bears a chance to kick a field goal and put it just a little bit more out of reach when the other team had the momentum.
All right, let's get back to the Mueller Auto Group game-changing moment. That is, of course, the challenge that was successful in the illegal forward pass. The Mueller family of dealerships with
locations. And there's no way that Ben Johnson could have seen that. He had to have somebody in the booth basically say it was a forward pass. And you know what? Again, skin of the teeth. I mean, they could have called it, you know,
either
legitimate.
Way. Yep. The Mueller family of dealerships have locations in Hoffman Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Merrillville. So the Bears win it 26-14. And back to that play, OB, it was a play I think that the Bears probably should have kicked the field goal from the very beginning. And that's the one time that a penalty actually kind of moved them in the right direction. They went ahead and kicked the field goal at that point.
Things are breaking their way. It's the amount, the teams that we're playing and how good, bad, or indifferent they are. And they're getting the breaks. They're getting the calls. They're getting the bounce of the ball. But I'm going to tell you what. Again, what I said here, we're going to start playing some pretty good football teams pretty soon here, and then we'll see how good we are really going to be. But the thing that jumped out at me today was Caleb Williams, our quarterback, folks. That's what really jumped out at me, and I'm going to give him an F, my friends.
All right, let's get back
to the game. But that's the thing that jumped out at me. How could he play this bad, throw the ball as bad as he did against a 1-5 team, and we're at home?
And here's the thing. He doesn't have a running game. Oh, he didn't have an offensive line. He has nobody to throw. He's got first-round picks everywhere. The offensive line has had its best 2 days in the last 10 years. And we got a running game. It went for 222 yards. Where is his excuse?
His rating, lucky he got over 60% in this game, and we won it.
Yeah.
I tell you.
Only saving grace was the fact that the run game accounted for 222 yards. Another 100-yard game for DeAndre Swift, 19 carries, 124 yards. And
against 1-5 teams, Andy. Oh, Kyle Minunga, they can't stop anybody.
Still got to run it. 13 carries for 81 yards and his first NFL touchdown for the 7th-round pick out of Rutgers.
Yeah, I told you when we drafted him. Yep. That day I said, this kid, he's a player. He'll help.
Ben Johnson talking a little bit about the passing numbers, which were rather non-existent for the Bears here today. Caleb Williams, 15 of 26, 172 through the air, no touchdowns, one interception. And as we have been discussing, a 61.7 rating, which, by all accounts, is not very good.
Well, and there's a reason. He was wild and awful, inaccurate, bad decisions. Most of them were, obviously too late.
And that's not the first time, Dan.
No, it's a bad trend. And this was a get-well game. This was a defense that he should have been able to really, chalk it up. But we didn't see that. And, I went through the litany of potential excuses that other quarterbacks could have made or even made last year. The offensive line's bad. No receivers. He has been put into a position to succeed, not struggle. And a lot of this, it's all on him. And somehow, he's got to figure it out.
Danny, one thing again, and you hear me moan about it all the time, get your tight ends involved. Today, again, with our tight ends playing against, if you really want to take advantage of a bad team, this is a team we should have with our tight ends, okay? Komet, one pass. Loveland, three passes. Four passes today, folks, against that team. And I'm going to tell you something, again, which I've said, because it is a fact. You've got to get your tight ends involved in the offensive scheme of things for four quarters. For four quarters. They open up the passing game for your wideouts, your slot people, and your backs. When is somebody in this team going to get it through their thick skulls? I know a writer in Chicago, he understands it. He wrote, tight ends Komet Loveland haven't been featured. It was a big article in one of the local papers. Jason Leisure, I believe, was the writer's name. How in the hell you can go and all you do, look at Detroit, look at all the teams in the league. Who do they use in their passing game? The tight ends, folks. I harp about it. I scream about it. And these people, it is absolutely unbelievable. And again, Danny, it was very close. We easily could have lost this game in the second half.
Absolutely. And we basically, diagrammed exactly the sequence where the lowly Saints could have taken the lead into the third quarter.
Third quarter, correct? Yeah.
And who knows what would have happened if we had not made that challenge. If we had not been fortuitous enough for the challenge to actually work out. A lot of times the officials, they don't correct a mistake. But all that being said, our very first drive was, an exercise in futility. We had the ball and wound up gaining 6 yards and punting it away. We had had a couple of football games where we take the opening drive and drive for a touchdown, and then, of course, the offense seems to be more on schedule. But today, the second drive wasn't much better. We get it on the New Orleans 24 due to a fumble by them. 6 plays, we gain a total of 15 yards and kick a field goal instead of scoring a touchdown. The third drive, four plays, ends in an interception. So, again, this was kind of the tell of the tape. The way the entire game went was the way it started.
Daniel, let me just add on to what you just said. You know, I told you, when you sit here, you look at some of the stats. And to me, some of the things that jump out at me are obviously a rating and also penalties. And the other thing that jumps out at me is time of possession. Time of possession, folks. We, the Bears, again, against this team, that 1-5 team came into our place. We had the ball approximately 13 more minutes than our opponents. That's almost a quarter of football. It's almost a quarter of football we had over them. And the bounce of the ball and some of the calls by the refs could have been the difference where we might have lost this game, where we might have lost it. And you sit here and look at almost a 13-minute difference from us and our opponents, and it was a struggle down to the end to win this game. Danny, this has to, every week we have the ball 3 more minutes, 7 more minutes, whatever have you, and we're lucky we're winning. And we're winning against some pretty lousy football teams.
Well, and Moose Johnson made a great point, you know, with the futility of the first quarter's offensive output. He said, the last four games, the Saints have given up touchdowns on the first two opening drives. Now, think about this. The third time we had the ball, all week, everybody was talking about a runner's ball. And for those of you that aren't up to speed with it, essentially what that means is the quarterback will throw the ball precisely to the receiver, whether it's a back or a tight, whoever it is, where he is in a position to tuck the ball and be able to make football moves and run yards after catch. All that being said, that one catch that Kmet was featured and he caught it for 16 yards, it wasn't a runner's ball by any stretch, Andy.
No.
It was behind him, and he had to go to the ground. Not only that, there was a play, I think, one or two plays later where they ran DeAndre Swift on a wheel route, and the ball was so bad, he didn't even catch it. And these are the fails of the quarterback that – You start having to question is what's going on, because that is a pass that an NFL, you know, quality quarterback can make in his sleep. And yet today, how many bad throws did he make? I would have to count a dozen.
Yeah, there were a lot.
There was a bunch, and it wasn't good, and it wasn't pretty, and it's no way to go to Baltimore.
Following up with that, Danny, what you just said, okay. If you look, excuse me, third down conversion, we were 3 of 12. That's 25%. You're 3 of 12, and you got a percentage of 25%. You lose a football game. You have 10 penalties against you for almost 100 yards. You lose a football game just on those two stats alone. And lo and behold, what did the Chicago Bears do? We pull out a victory. But it had to be against a god-awful team. Danny, third down, Andy, we were 3 of 12 for 25% in third down conversions, and that's the most important down, folks. Third down is the most important down in football. And we were at 25%, and we won a football game. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah. The two things about it, again, a win is the great deodorant and everybody can move on, but you don't want him to be able to just basically, you know, wave any culpability about how poor he played. It wasn't because of the receivers or the protection. You know, there was times back a few years ago with Justin Fields and even Trubisky, I mean, they were being, you know, machete attacked in the pocket. And we didn't see that. We saw him get out of the pocket a few times because there was some pressure. But first and foremost, it's all about his throwing the football. It has been bizarrely inaccurate. And I don't understand that. If you was to have, you know, some kid that wanted to try out for your team and he threw the ball like what we saw Caleb today, they wouldn't get a second look.
Not at all.
They would not get a second look. And yet this is the first overall pick in football, and I've already detailed two wideouts are first-round draft picks, the running back's a first-round draft pick, tight end's a first-round draft pick, the offensive line had $162 million spent to upgrade it. I mean, where are we going to get the excuses? At some point, you know, we've got to start getting answers, not questions.
312-981-7200. Let's go stay at the city of Chicago and talk to Augie. Augie, you're up with Happen OB. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, I don't think
hey.
I like the back of
all right, Augie, we're having some problems with your phone there. Hang on a second. I will put you on hold, and we'll try to come back to him.
Do we have to throw a challenge flag?
We may
on
have
Augie?
To throw a challenge flag on Augie just to see if he's ready to roll again. They're checking over there to find out and make sure he's good. All right, now he's good. All right, Augie, take two. You're up with Happen to Be. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, listen, I don't disagree with you. I like the backups better than Williams. I don't think Williams is the guy. But our offensive line does look better, and Swift and the other back are running the ball well. I think we should use Swift out of the backfield. I'll hang up and listen, guys.
All right, Augie, thanks.
Well, there was a play or two that we were trying to use him out of the backfield, i.e., you know, on a wheel route, which is a great plan because he has the ability to separate. And if you put the ball on him, he can make people miss, and it's a big play waiting. But we saw how inaccurate those passes were. I mean, I hate to say there's no excuse, but evidently, you know, he's struggling to get the ball and you know, put it in a position where you could, you know, favorably call it a runner's ball where they have a chance to catch it. And then go to work. All that being said, you know, before you throw the baby out with the bathwater, remember it was Caleb Williams that put together a fourth quarter touchdown drive to come from behind in Las Vegas, and we won that game. It was Caleb Williams that came from 8 points down in D.C. last Monday night and put us in a position to win that football game. Those things are great, and you can't really teach those. But the simple things are the ones that start making you chatter your teeth,
yeah,
going, whoa, what's going on? Because if he plays like this next week, I don't care if we ran the ball for 400 yards, we probably won't win because the Ravens have been a part of the elite teams for quite a while. And 1-5 is nowhere that they're happy about and accustomed to. They're going to find the answers. We're going to have to be a lot better to match up.
Danny, what he has to start doing that is against meetings against Green Bay, meetings against the Vikings, meetings against Detroit, meetings against the winning teams in the National Football League. You know, you can flourish. My God, 1-5 teams. Last week, 1-5 teams. This week coming up, we've got a 1-5 team. You know what? I want to see him start doing it against a 5-1 team, a 6-1 team.
Amen.
That's what I want to see him do. And I want him to see him throw passes. How about down the field, 40, 50, 60 yards? That's what I want to see him do.
312-981-7200. Back out to the phones we go. It's Adam Marco. Marco, you're up in Happen OB. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for getting me in again. Hey, you know, obviously we're going to sit here and enjoy this win, even though it's against a lowly 1-5 Saints team. But can you guys please tell me, and maybe you've got an insight, or you can tell me what the path is. How do we, with all this money, Danimal, that you mentioned we spent on the offensive line, how can we please stop making all of these terrible mental penalty mistakes? Thanks for getting me on, guys. I'll let you chime in on that.
All right, Marco, thanks.
Before Dan does, let me jump in there, Marco. How about all these mini camps they had? All the different kind of training camps during the off season? How about the exhibition season? How about playing these guys in three games and all the weeks, a couple months, two, 3 months leading up to it? That's when you do it, Marco. So when it's time to get going. You're motivating. You're ready. Your timing's down. Your efficiency is better. That's what happens, Marco, when you play your players and you hold their feet to the fire.
You know, the two plays by the center, Dahlman, where he double-clutched it. And one, the first one down at the goal line, he never even completed the handoff, and he turned around like the play was going to be called dead, and it was still going, and he actually just kind of crumpled up and went to the ground. We actually scored a touchdown on that because the officials did not call a penalty. That should have been a penalty. He has got to hand the ball to the quarterback. You know, you got to snap it, hike it, whatever you want to call it. And then down at the other end, he did the same thing on a double clutch on fourth and goal. And on that play, they stopped the play before, they called it dead and stopped the play before the actual play was to run, which that's when you said, OB, that should be, you know, up to the opposing team to whether they want to take the penalty or not, because they stopped us. Remember?
Yes.
Yes. But again, the officials blew it twice. And I'd never seen the first one where the center could never complete it, handing the ball off.
Danny, that what happened down there, that should be that, the Bears committed the foul.
You both
do not a penalty, and you do not reward a penalized team.
Yeah.
On the next, they get penalized. And why didn't the opposing team have the right to accept or deny? There's something was really wrong there, Dan.
Well,
and at that particular time, you were talking about a change in attitude, et cetera. I don't know, my friend.
The whole thing is bizarre. Because, yeah. Like I said, I've seen, you know, the double. They call the center with a double clutch where he kind of bounces the ball, not knowing, you know, completely when he was supposed to snap it. But to snap it and continue possessing the ball when the play was going on,
without the quarterback touching it.
I couldn't tell whether Caleb, and again, see, this is part of the deal.
He didn't touch it.
Well, they didn't. I couldn't tell. It looked like he possibly could have touched it, but the center didn't let go of it because he didn't think the quarterback had secured it. Now, that being said, we all know that Caleb had never been under center before, and that was one of the big deals that Ben Johnson wanted to beat into the offense and Caleb Williams. We're going to be under center a lot. We're going to do this. This is part of what we do. And evidently, all those intense practices and training camps and all that stuff, they didn't get it right sufficiently to where during the middle of an NFL game, they do that. That's crazy.
That, Danny.
That's crazy.
Absolutely.
Never seen it before. I've been watching 40 years.
That whole offseason, they had the whole entire offseason for them to implement these simple basic facts and rules of how to play the game. Okay? They never did it.
And they came out with a stat. I think he got in the league, what, about 2016? And since then, he's accounted for 41 interceptions, more than anyone else in the game. How lucky are we that we were able to have him kind of fall in our lap?
Yep.
Ryan Poles didn't blow this free agent acquisition. He has paid off. But more importantly, it's not a one-game thing or a couple-of-game thing. He has been excellent every single game. Now we're 4-2, essentially a third of the way through the season. He's playing at a Pro Bowl level, doubt about it.
And that leadership that he provides, too, especially when guys, you know, we've seen Kyler Gordon, we've seen Jaquan Brisker go out injured and be injured, and now, of course, Jalen Johnson is not around with the groin surgery. But Byard's been that steadying force and a guy that, again, is always around the ball.
He is. Let me just say this about Jaquan Brisker. You know, when he hit the quarterback today, and four different times in this contest, we committed a penalty that gave their offense a first down. Why are we helping them? Maybe once a game, It was four times today, and it was four times in D.C. last week. Yep. I mean, this is a horrible trend. But Brisker, in my mind, he did not commit a penalty. He, you know, his hand hit Rattler's arm during the motion of throwing, and his hand may have brushed the helmet. My God, it's the NFL. You know, I mean, if you're going to start worrying about that, then, I mean, what next? You know, I'm just saying, you know, he committed a penalty. I got it. They gave him a first down instead of a sack. But at the end of the day, another bad officiating call.
Danny, in today's game out there in Soldier Field, our defensive line, what grade would you give them?
F. It was awful. Here's the only thing. We only gave up 44 yards on the ground. So they got it, you know, they got in their little crummy stances and their bad stances. I'm just telling you, the simple things. Folks, it's about fundamentals. Who's coaching these people? Anyway, they get in their stance and they kind of fall into a hole and clog it up. And okay, if that's all they're expecting, then excuse me, we're not going anywhere, because you've got to have an active, violent defensive line that is disruptive. We're not disrupting anything.
Danny, the one thing I like to see with our defensive line, and you know, one of my favorite words is like attacking, okay? And it's kind of nice to see our defensive coordinator all this past week use the word, we want to attack more. Okay, he actually said that, almost fell out of the chair. But I'm going to tell you, Dan, we've got to get more diversified defensively and offensively in our line play. It can't be you line up in the same place. We've got to do more line tricks with our defensive line, our ends and our tackles, and blitzing, and get more aggressive. And we're truly not. And when you play really good football teams, folks, in the NFL, I'm telling you, you better be aggressive. You sit back on your haunches, and everybody do their coverage this, and you go into this gap, and you do that. But, boy, if you don't come with blitzes, and you don't come with line tricks, and you don't come after your opposing quarterback, you're going to lose. When it comes to the end of the season, you're going to be losing. You're going to be going nowhere. And unfortunately, that's what we have become. We do not attack. And I, for whatever reason or reasons, I don't understand from one coach to the next. And then when we got Ben Johnson, I truly thought it's going to be, finally we got a guy that you talk about attacking offensively. This guy goes play action. He does so many bootleg passes. He attacks down the field. He uses the tight ends. Boy, are we going to see it. Well, I'll be diddly damned. It's null and void, Dan. I really haven't seen it as much as he used it up in Detroit. Now, was that Dan Campbell's choice, or was it him being the offensive coordinator? Take your pick. But when he came here, that's the kind of offense I thought he would implement. And defense that we would be. We would be aggressive. We'd go after people. And what the hell have we done? We're beating 1-5 football teams.
Barely. Barely.
Yes.
I think the word is competency.
Why the hell didn't we do this in training camp? You just can't set four defensive linemen down, or if it's a three down, four linebacker deal, and think the three guys or the four guys are going to beat the guy above. You got to come with line tricks. You got to come with blitzes. You got to come with overs and unders, shifting the line to the strong, to the weak side. Come with blitzes. You got to be aggressive. We don't do it. We don't. I don't know why. You sit back there, and you get your backside handed to you. And today, you know, that score should have been 60-0, Dan, as far as I was concerned today. That team, holy cow. One team after another. I thought Vegas was horrible. This team takes the trophy.
Yeah.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
What's going on. And these are the people we've been playing.
Okay.
There will be reality coming down the road. We'll see how we meet it. We'll see how we meet it.
I don't know if you guys caught it, but Ben Johnson was talking about Dennis Allen, the defensive coordinator, in the week leading up to this game, saying, oh, yeah, well, he says it's not that personal, blah, 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 because he got fired by the Saints. He was there for some good times, but got, you know, fired. The words that Ben Johnson used was, we have a schematic advantage. Now, in my mind, schematic advantage, you know, could be applicable if you run certain defenses that essentially stop the opponent cold, okay? They have no, you know, no answers. What you're doing, they can't stop you. We haven't seen that. Today, we saw Kyler Gordon have to blitz a number of times. Until we got a 20-0 lead, then he basically started playing zone and just waiting for Rattler to
stop ourselves. Danny.
Yeah, but the defense was getting essentially zero pressure by the down linemen. Where okay, now you got to bring Brisker, you got to bring Kyler Gordon, you got to bring T.J. Edwards. But the point being is, why are you – that's no schematic advantage, because essentially you're committing a secondary member to the rush, because the four guys responsible for the rush, they're not cutting it. They're not getting it done. So now you got to start doing – that's not a – to me, it's not a schematic advantage. We got lucky because we had a dummy playing quarterback for the opponents. He couldn't figure it out. But against Lamar Jackson next Sunday – oh, my Lord, it could be ugly.
Folks, you got to understand something here. What the Bears play, certain players on this team, on the offensive line and on the defensive line, because basically the bottom line is, where's the game won? It's won up front. In other words, what does that mean? Offensive line, defensive line, that's where it settles. And we play, I'm going to tell you, Poles, our general manager, he's given some of these guys on our team contracts, folks, that are – beyond the word, stunning, unbelievable, sweat, almost $100 million for 4 years, roughly around $25 million for 17 games, and half the time you can't even find a guy. Year to year to year, this has been going on with this guy. I have no idea, Dan, what the front office of the Chicago Bears, what the hell they're thinking about, and how do the coaches let a player like that get away with being on the bench almost as much as he is on the field?
But today I saw something that I can't believe.
Yeah, he made a tackle.
No, in a two-play sequence, he was in a position to go and dive and try to get Alvin Kamara, and he just stood there. And then a play later, there was a screen to the opposite side, and he jogged behind everybody instead of breaking it and running.
He played that great, huh?
I was speechless.
Another great game by the runners in general. Swift with 124 yards on the ground on 19 carries, and Kyle Manungai with his first career touchdown, also 13 carries and 81 yards. Between the two of them, it was about a 6.3 yards per carry advantage.
Let me tell you about Swift. So he was drafted in the first round by the Detroit Lions. And when Campbell showed up, he was deemed expendable. I remember he was a rookie, and he had a touchdown pass that he dropped in the south end zone. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
I remember that, yep.
And so he was kind of, you know, given the gate, and he went to Philadelphia. Philadelphia, what did they do? They signed Saquon Barkley, which basically said, hey,
see ya.
Thanks, but no thanks. So getting here last year, he was okay, nothing special. We all know the offensive line. We all know the goons that we had designing plays, calling plays, you know, all that. So for him to be able to, after the first two games, the offense struggled in a lot of different ways, but the last 3 weeks, especially the last two, it has really blossomed, and the running game has got to be you know, a constant, especially when your quarterback's struggling.
Yep.
But here's the other part about it, OB. When you are running for 200 yards a game on the ground, your quarterback should be stealing in play action. Now, I can't remember us doing a whole lot of play action today.
I didn't see it one time. It might have happened, but I didn't see it.
Well, there was some fakes.
I didn't see any sprint outs. I didn't see basically any bootlegs to speak of. Danny?
There was less than a handful of rollouts. Yeah. And when he hit commit on that pass, and again, he threw a poor ball that was caught, but it was, again, it wasn't a runner's ball. But the point being is, if you run for 200 yards, Andy, every other play should be play action.
Easily.
Because now those linebackers, they're coming, and they got their pads down, and it's like stealing, and yet we don't do it.
We said the same thing last week, Dan.
I know.
And the week before, and the week before, and the months before, and the years before. I don't understand it. Play action is such a great play, especially, like you mentioned, the running game. You get your running game going, oh, my God, because defense, folks, defense's first rule, especially the guys up front, the defensive linemen, first rule, play the run first. That's your first key, is the run. And then, obviously, if it isn't, you'll rush the passer automatic. It just automatically comes. But that is the rule. You guard against the run. That's the first thing you do. Danny, there's about four things here that I'd like to ask you. And we won this game, and I know we played a pathetic team. But when you're a quarterback, you're the number one player drafted in the entire National Football League, and you come in with the greatest this, the greatest that, the greatest whatever. And almost a third of the way through the season, we won a game. We won a game. With our quarterback converting three times out of 12 for 25%. We won a game with our quarterback throwing for 164 yards, and the percentage was, his rating was 61.7. Three out of 12 for 25%, passing 61.7. Penalties. As a team, we had 10 for almost 92 yards, almost 100 yards. 10 penalties with a quarterback with a 61 rating, and we converted on 3 of 12, okay, on third down efficiency. And we had, along with those three, we had 13 more minutes. 13 more minutes, and it was a struggle. Basically, down to the end of the game, wasn't it, Dan? Basically, a struggle.
It was.
Against a 1-5 team, and we're at home. Those stats are alarming to me. A third of the way through the season, this is his second year. His accuracy is alarming to me. But these stats are unbelievable, and we won today. How the hell can you convert 3 of 12 on third down, the most number one down in football, and we convert three times? How do you have a 61 rating? How do you have 10 penalties? And how the hell do you have 13 more minutes?
You know, when your opponent...
thought about that in July.
Well, when your opponent, and some of it he was forced into, you know, the last one to Kevin Byard, that was just a stupid throw. Another one, the ball was batted up in the air, and Tremaine Edmonds got lucky getting it picked. But I'm just saying, when the opposing quarterback had three interceptions and lost a fumble, and you still have to scrape by and kind of pin all your hopes and luck on the interpretation of a challenge call to keep from probably going down in the third quarter, yeah, I'd say it's time to say, yeah, we got to clean up some stuff.
That's a great point, Danny.
It is. Think about this, folks. It was, you know, it was a situation where it was 20 to to 14, and they had the ball. They were going. They pulled that little trick play with Taysom Hill to Alvin Kamara, and now they're in business, first and goal, what, about the 16, 17, mm-hmm. something like that, and they got us on our heels. They were coming. They could have took the lead, but the challenge call stopped that drive, obviously, for you know all the reasons we've already stated. But, boy, you, again, the game before in D.C., if Jaden Daniels, the rookie of the year in the NFL, doesn't bobble the ball and fumble it in the last stages of the fourth quarter, we don't get the ball back to give Caleb a chance to go down and score. So, I mean, all these games are coming down to one play or two plays, something like that. And when we're playing such a bad opponent at home and run the ball for 222 yards, and yet it could have come down to one play, a lot of guys need to look in the mirror because they're not getting it done.
Danny, the one other stat here that I had mentioned, and everything you said is so right on and so true. I'll tell you what, folks, again, one of the statistics that just jumps out at me is, I mean, there were four good ones, but the one, we had the ball 13 more minutes than our opponent here at home. That's almost a quarter of football. There's only four quarters. And we had that to struggle against a 1-5 team. It had to go down basically to the end of the game before we were comfortable with a minute or so to go that we think we've got the victory. It's astonishing. And again, what I mentioned earlier, Dan, I mentioned it last week, I mentioned it earlier today. The people that better start taking a look at themselves is not the coaches looking at the players, it's the coaches looking at the coaches. You guys, get yourself a mirror and look in the mirror. You send these guys against this 1-5 team, we're at home, this team is just god-awful. And we had to struggle to win it. And our quarterback, again, I gave him an F. I believe, Dan, you gave him an F or a D or whatever.
A D.
But I'll tell you what, when he's around 61% and he converts 3 out of 12 times on third down, the most important down, and then for a team we have 10 penalties, and then we wind up having 13 more minutes. Folks, those stats that I'm just telling you, it's the second or third time I've said it because I can't get over it. That's astonishing. A game in the National Football League, a third of the season through, we now have a seasoned quarterback. We brought in some seasoned veteran players from other teams. You had the whole offseason. You had 3 exhibition games. Now we finished with our sixth game of this season, and we're struggling mightily to beat a pathetic football team. And that's exactly what the hell you saw out there. We played a pathetic football team, poorly coached, poorly executed on the offense and defensive side of the ball. They were just god-awful. And we're going to Baltimore. Guess what their record is? 1-5. 1-5. And if we go into Baltimore, we'll be way. We won't be at home. If we go in and we equal these stats, I can guarantee you we will not win that football game. Those four stats that I mentioned, we will not win.
You know what is
it? And so let me finish, Dan. So my thing is to our head coach and the position coaches and our offensive and defensive coordinator, you guys get your act together. You think this was a great victory today? It was a joke. Start coaching. Start getting these players ready to play.
You know, and your stat, bringing it up, 3 out of 12 on third down.
Most important down in football.
We ran the ball for 222, Andy.
Yep.
Those should have been 3rd and 3s, 3rd and 1s, 3rd and 2s. If you're running the ball, well, I mean, we're not in 3rd and 14 every time, which you could see, you know, that happen. And we saw it with Justin Fields and Trubisky and that, all that. You know, these were run of the mill, garden variety 3rd downs, and we can't convert. It's, again, your point is dead on. Coaching, you know, you're going to – hey, and I hate to say it, that's our job. We're the ones basically up here on the 18th floor watching this, and we're saying – if you haven't started sending out the SOS signal, you better, because we got to fix some stuff.
Danny, I said it last week, coach is better, and I think it was 2 weeks ago when I said the one thing that just jumped out at me, Andy and Dan, if you guys remember, I said it jumped out at me, what the hell's going on here with this team? We're struggling with terrible football teams. And all these trades to get all these linemen in and the great quarterback we drafted, and we're struggling. And why are we struggling coming into this season? Bang, it hit me, Dan. It's the coaches. And I said, if the coaches should be taking a look at anybody, they should be looking at themselves. I said it last week, and I think I might have said it the week prior, but I'll tell you, I'm going to say it again. We got through, thank God, at least we were at home. We weren't playing in their ballpark. I'm telling you, coaches, start coaching. Start taking a long look at yourselves. As far as I'm concerned, you guys, you give our quarterback, give him an F. I give you guys an F. Up until now, an F. Dan, what are you going to say? You understand statistics. You understand the stats. You understand what went out there for four quarters. And I'm supposed to come over here, and it's very joyful. It's wonderful. And yeah, they win. You congratulate them, yes. But then there's reality, okay? And, again, those four stats that I gave you, I cannot believe. They won this football game with those miserable stats. How the hell that happened, I have no idea. I really don't.
It's kind of hard to depend all the time upon takeaways from your defense. That's not really, really much of an offensive game plan, is it?
Evidently, that is the game plan. I don't know how long you can expect it to happen. You want it to keep happening. You know, I do know this. If Lamar Jackson is, you know, going to be healthy and ready, he doesn't turn it over much.
No.
You know, that's one of the things about him. He kills you with big plays. He don't turn it over. There's no, no doubting that. That's the reason why he was, in the top three player of the year the last 4 years. So we'll have our hands full. And, hey, if we get four turnovers next week, I'll be the happiest guy, you know, in Chicago. But I don't think you can plan on that on a week-to-week basis. The one thing that almost to a fault here, OB, you bringing up the point that the coaching has had issues, flaws. It hasn't been what you or I expected, but to me, and maybe in an abstract way, he's staying even keel. He's not going over the edge going, oh, my God, you know, we've got to be better on third down. Oh, my God, we've got to be able to do this, blah, blah, whatever. He's, you know, I guess that is, you know, his modus operandi, that he's going to try to stay calm and hopefully, you know, hope that, you know, it starts getting better. But it better start getting better in a hurry.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, Dan, the game of football at this level, it's not about hope. It's about doing. It's about knowing. It's about extra effort. That's what it's about. And these stats in this victory today are a little bit sickening. And I'm going to tell you, if we're going to continue to win, every team we're going to play from here on out is not going to be 1-5, 1-6, 1-7. We're going to start to play some pretty good football teams, okay? And Danny, the most important down, and it's been in all the games so far this year, we've been horrible on third down. Folks, if you don't think that down is the most important down, you don't know anything about football at any level. You've got to convert. It usually comes down to third down and whatever. And you cannot keep going doing 3 out of 12, 2 out of 8, you know, 4 out of 15, or whatever it might be from week to week. It's going to jump up. It's going to bite you. You can't have a quarterback with his rating in the 60s and think you're going to win from week to week to week. 10 penalties, 9 penalties, 8 penalties from week to week, you're going to lose. And finally, they had the ball. Bears, 13 more minutes. And you cannot, those first three, folks, those first three stats I gave you, you continue to match those stats here on out. We're not going to win. I hope the hell we get it certified, and I hope our coaches have meetings and take a damn good hard look at themselves. That's where I see the problem is, our coaching, not the players.
All right, 26-14, Bears over the Saints.